enough, so I'll just do the whole shebang today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really just kidding. I had had some things on my heart before Mom had even talked to me. So I also didn't wear very much makeup today because I figure I look like a trash panda at the end of this. So there was also a song that we used to listen to a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure when we were little, we went to see this guy. But I'm going to have Jamie, if she would play this song. It's just kind of an intro into what I'm going to talk about today. Okay, take your time. Yeah, I'm sure when you first hear it, you're going to be like, okay, it's probably not what you had in mind, but it's all right too. Some of you may remember this. Some of you may have never heard it before. And this was before music videos, so there's not an actual video that goes with this. It's just the song. Song, of course, is about sometimes God puts a call or a need in front of us, and sometimes it's difficult to step out of our comfort zone to minister to that need. And so here I am this morning. This is my Africa. That is more my suburbia. My main goal today is to be more of a motivational speaker or encouragement to you. Okay, let's see here. Let me get started. So I've had a thought on my heart, and Mom had asked me around camp time to be prepared at camp to speak. And so I was thinking about some things, and it didn't happen, and that was fine. But when she started her series on roots, what God was sharing with me kind of fit right into that. And of course, I've grown up in the ministry. I've been a Christian baby my whole life. You know, my grandparents, my parents. So I just grew up in that environment. Luckily, with very strong roots and a support system. But I think sometimes when you grow up, always knowing a lot of things and knowing a lot of the scriptures. Sometimes I have big questions for God that I don't understand why I don't get an answer to. And sometimes that's hard to admit as a Christian because we tend to think that we're supposed to know or that, you know, God's going to make this big experience happen to show us, and most of the time I'm talking too much to listen. So when God speaks to me, he kind of speaks to me like I would talk to my children sometimes. He snaps at them, or he says something very quickly or sharp. And so I was asking, you know, like, what is my purpose? You know, there were some things that have been spoken over my life that I'm not seeing happening. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do to change it or where I'm supposed to go from here, Lord. You told me this was going to happen, but I don't see it. And so I was really struggling. And one of the things that I've struggled with as an adult, as a person, I've always known that my talent and my gifting is music. It's just part of who I am. These days, I'm okay with saying that out loud, that music is what I'm good at. It's one of the few things that I feel that I'm good at, but it is. It's God gave it to me, and I know that. But I've also had lots of words of prophecy and things spoken over my life about those talents being used in bigger spaces. And so the older I get, the more I started to see those things. Not that it was a bad thing, but I just couldn't wrap my head around how things were going to happen. Not that I didn't believe it, but I wasn't sure how it was going to happen. And so when that happens to me, I just keep going. I just keep doing what I know. Still get up every Sunday and sing my heart out. I still do all those things. And one morning I was getting ready for church, and I remember I was walking from the bathroom. There's a little hallway between my bathroom and my bedroom. And I was just walking, and all of a sudden I heard God say, "Is it fruitful?" And I just kind of stopped and I said, "What? What does that mean?" You know, he just gives me these little random things, mostly because that's all I can focus on at the time. So I kept thinking, "Is it fruitful? Is it fruitful? And what does that mean?" So I started thinking about it, and I also will admit that I do not read the Bible like a chapter book. I can't just sit down and read and understand it because my mind wanders. So the way that I read my Bible is when God gives me a question or lays something on my heart, then I say, "Google, what does fruitful mean in the Bible?" And so all of these things pop up. And it starts to connect the dots. And so then I have another question, okay? So I didn't immediately understand what he was trying to tell me, but there are a lot of verses in the Bible about being fruitful. We've been talking about roots and their importance of being rooted or grounded in him. And that is a key factor in having a good foundation, something that you can always go back to, okay? So I looked at, Okay, so we've been talking about the roots, and then I started thinking about, well, as the tree grows, what happens to it? It starts to branch out, right? So then we get the branches, okay? So what happens in the branches, once there is life, what starts to build? Maybe. Okay. We have fruit. We also have birds that nest there. And so I started thinking about having wings. And I wore my little feather earrings today. This is the whole, it's a whole vibe. I've got my trees and my flowers and my wings. So when I was looking up, what does it say about wings in the Bible? And the first scripture that popped up was Isaiah 40, 31. Yeah, and it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And there were a lot of big things that stuck out in that verse to me. But the first thing was, "But they that wait," W-A-I-T, I'm not very good at waiting. And as a teacher, a lot of times we're supposed to teach the kids to be patient. You know, well, what does it mean to be patient? When you tell little kids to be patient, I always say, patience is waiting without whining. That means we're not complaining about it. We're not stirring up all of these thoughts that don't even need to be in there. We're waiting for a minute without whining. Let's see. Next page. So then I was thinking about it being fruitful again. And the next scripture that I found was in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. That means there is no limit or maximum to these things. There is no, you can't max out in love, you can't max out in joy, you can't max out in peace, you can't max out in patience, you can't max out in kindness, any of those things. There is no limit. They will never wither away, and they renew themselves in a new season. Now, if a fruit tree blossoms, at the end of the season, what happens to them? They wither away and they fall to the ground, right? Okay. In that season, it doesn't look fruitful, right? But come springtime, those will reblossom. And chances are, some of those things that have nested in your branches start to take things out to other people. Another question that I had for myself was, what fruit am I producing to nourish the earth? Because sometimes we have a tendency to blame, and maybe it's just me, okay? We have a tendency to blame people and situations and circumstances, and where blame should never be. So I'm trying my hardest to be more conscious of how I respond to people. I heard someone say one time, are you listening to respond or to react? Are you listening to hear what I'm saying, or are you just listening to react to that? Am I building a strong root system in Christ, in my church, and in my continual learning of the Word? Do I have those people in my life? Is God the foundation? Those are our roots. Another analogy that I like to use, it's not roots related, but it is about foundations. When I was little and we would get scared of storms, we would always say, you don't have to be afraid because I know my dad built this house. And I know that it's not gonna fall because my dad built it. And that's important that we know that we have a Father, that when we come back to those roots, wherever we are, that we know that we are secure in Him. And the other day, I got to tell Indy, she was scared of the storms, and she was holding her ears, and I walked up. And I got to tell my baby that her daddy and her poppy built this house so they didn't have to be scared. And that may just be a physical structure, but those are also big roots in her life, as her daddy and her poppy and her nanny. And even when I can't be, when I'm not grounded, that I can always bring them to a place that they know that they're safe. I might not always have the answers, but I know the person who does. And we can go see him, and you can talk to him whenever you need to. Am I speaking life? Or am I allowing the tree trunk and the branches to wither? Am I a safe place for others to take refuge when they don't know or understand God's purpose for them? Am I allowing others to grow in their own faith so that they also can fulfill God's purpose for them? And so then I started thinking about my purpose too, and okay, Lord, if what you said is not working out like I thought, then what do we do now? And sometimes you just have to sit on the floor and listen for a little bit. And I really felt like he told me again in a very sharp way one day while I was mouthing off. And he said, Beth, I didn't create you to be a performer. And I was kind of shocked when he said that because what have I been doing the last 25 years of my life? That's the first thing I ever remember doing was singing at church. And he said, Beth, I didn't create you to be a performer. I created you to be a worshiper. Yeah. And immediately, I felt like all that pressure that I had put on myself to be perfect and to make sure I had all the right chords and to make sure that I looked good. Because while I do think that that is important, I want you to know that when I come here on Sunday mornings, that my heart is there, and it doesn't matter if there's anybody in the pews because I don't do it for the audience anymore. Because I allowed God to speak, and he did not change his mind. He didn't change what he had told me. And it doesn't mean that if I'm not the performer that somebody won't hear my music one day. Because I'm going to hold him to it. If he spoke it, then I'm going to hold him to it. And Georgia told me the other day, it was so sweet, I almost cried. But we were talking, they think I'm cool right now, you know. I know, I'm going to enjoy it for a few more years. And she said, Mom, you're already famous. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you're on Facebook, and people watch you on the live feed. Like, people know who you are. And I thought, in her world, I'm important. All right, I'm going to play that too. I'm going to hold her to it, right, because that's what matters. Because my fruit, see the importance that it's not about the performance, and it's not about how you look, and it's not about how you sound, and it's not about where you come from, because I don't have to be Lisa Unger, thank goodness. She got big shoes. And so does Poppy. He doesn't get a whole lot of credit, but that man works harder than most anybody I know. All of this. Somebody had a dream. Somebody has a heart to build. Amen. Now I'm lost. Okay. So, how do all of these things work together? We have our roots, we have our branches, and we have our wings. Your roots, you are the seed of God. Be planted in good soil. Nourish yourself and allow your roots, your mentors, your friends, your church community to dig deep in the earth for a solid foundation. If your roots are secure, nothing can bring you down. Roots are so important. And even though it's the part of the tree that people don't always see, more than half of the tree is underground, what you don't see. So what happens when the tree is healthy? It begins to grow and produce branches and fruit. Those branches are your structural support. They carry water from the soil to the leaves and food from leaves to the rest of the tree. Now, I thought this was important too, because sometimes we need an intercessor or we need a middleman to help us. I always like, you know, when I have a thought or something that I feel like it's important, I always tell God to tell somebody else too. And then to talk to me about it. So I encourage you, if you have a thought or God has put something on your heart that gives you goosebumps or makes your heart thump, share it with a friend, because chances are that's a word that he's not only given to you, but he's given to multiple people. And the more that you discuss it and you figure out he's talking to all of us, the more that we can kind of grow those branches and the fruits. And it becomes so abundant. I just want it to be so abundant that we just are hauling the Holy Spirit and God's grace in these big buckets, and it's just falling out everywhere. That's what it should be. And then, are you surrounding yourself with people who are feeding your spirit and growing your faith in Christ? Is it fruitful? Is this relationship fruitful? Is this something at work fruitful? Is the way that I'm dealing with this situation fruitful? I have a tendency to be a little judgmental. I'm just trying to be honest here. I know, he's a good guy. I want God to help me in that judgment. And instead of saying, well, this is what I think, this is what God thinks of this person. Because as much as he's given me a purpose, every single soul that is on this planet was created for a purpose. Whether you believe in that purpose or not, God has put a purpose in every single soul that is on this planet. Ask yourself, is it loving? Is it joyful? Is it peaceful? Is it patient? Is it kind? Good? Is it faithful? Is it gentle? And is it controlled? Your tree will not produce branches and fruit if you are not those things. So once we have a good, solid branch system, I started thinking about birds. And so again, I asked Google, what does the Bible say about wings? Because birds have wings. And the scripture that really spoke to me was Psalms 84, 1 through 3. And it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh call out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord God Almighty." Lord Almighty, I'm sorry, my King and my God. One of my favorite songs, and I'm going to try and sing it afterwards, is "His Eyes on the Sparrow." And I'll tell you a little bit more about sparrows, too, in my studying. But when we have a good, strong root system and allow God to nourish us, the tree, we allow God to bring out our best, our purpose, and stretch out, covering the earth in his goodness and love. We produce those branches. And from those branches, life starts to notice and builds a nest of safety that holds our precious babies, our family, our beliefs, and our purpose in God's kingdom. Then we are able to spread our wings and fly to new places and begin to share with others the goodness of God. Sometimes you may have to let other birds rest in your nest. Sometimes you are planted in a harsh environment. Or maybe someone tried to cut you down, or you're going through a drought. Isaiah 58:11 says, "And the Lord will guide you continuously, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." And I think God created trees and an underground water system for a purpose, because sometimes when we don't think it's coming from heaven, we just got to realize that it's already underneath, and it just has to come out of us. John 15, 1 through 27. Okay. Okay, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes that it bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine." See, we need each other. "Neither can you unless you abide in me." So you can't do it on your own either. God's purpose is even greater than what you think for yourself. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I started thinking about my favorite trees, trees that I think are beautiful or that I'm drawn to, and a bird that I really like. So two of my favorite trees, one is a white or silver birch tree, and another is a weeping willow. So Jamie, can you pull up the birch tree? I'm going to tell you a little bit about this, and you tell me if you can't see God all over it. Okay, so they have these beautiful whitish silver trunks. They're very smooth, just beautiful. White or silver birches originated in Europe and Asia. They are fast growing and can grow up to 40 feet. The bark was actually used for paper before paper, as we know it, was invented, because it just peels off in these huge chunks. Silver birch trees contain powerful diuretic properties that help in flushing out harmful toxins, uric acid, and excess water from your body, making it a good anti-inflammatory and helpful for maintaining kidney and liver health. Birch leaves are also, they can be consumed in the form of a tea to help boost the body's immune system. Interesting. All right, can you show the weeping willow? I just think these are so majestic, especially when you see them in the wind or the rain. They actually are called weeping willows because of the rain. When the rain hits the leaves, they look like little teardrops. That's why they're called weeping willows. They originated from China, and they are also fast-growing. They need full sun and space to grow, and they're great for nesting birds because there's so much coverage. Its roots are large, strong, and aggressive, and you're not supposed to plant them within, I think, 50 to 100 feet of your home, because they will actually, the roots will get into the ground and collapse the water pipes looking for water. And you're also not allowed to plant them very close to your neighbor's property. So if you ever decide to plant a weeping willow, there are lots of restrictions because its roots are so aggressive, okay? Imagine God's grip on you like that. Medicine, they used to make medicine from weeping willow trees for fever and pain, toothache relief, and it was like a synthetic aspirin. It was used to treat mastitis, toothaches, and scalds. So if you were burned, weeping willow tree was used as well. The bark is used to treat rheumatoid arthritis, fevers, and jaundice. The leaves are used to treat fevers, skin eruptions, and to purify the blood. In the Bible, this tree represents stability and permanence. Pretty cool. All right, so now let's talk about the sparrow. Jamie said she pulled up two different sparrows for me. There's a house sparrow and a song sparrow. I don't know which is which, but... you go. All right, so then I asked Google, all right, how do sparrows serve the ecosystem? How do they serve their purpose? Sparrows are found all over the world. They're actually one of the first birds that were recorded with mankind, so they've been around a long time. They do not follow, this was the coolest thing that I thought. I didn't realize that most birds follow specific flight patterns. So once they leave the nest once, that's the way they always go. So if they leave the nest on the right and make a big swoop back, that's how they go. And predators learn these patterns. So that if something is waiting for that bird to come out, they know exactly where he's going to fly, and that's how he gets eaten. Okay? Sparrows do not follow any flight patterns, which means that they don't fly the same way every time. They're very good at not being caught by most predators. Okay, that kind of spoke to me as maybe we should get out of our comfort zone every once in a while to try out a new pattern. This is believed to be strictly to protect the nest. So sometimes change is necessary to protect what you have that is valuable. They are small but fierce and will threaten and attack other species of birds to protect their nest. They spread seeds about 15 miles radius from their nest, and they keep the ecosystem balanced. So as the bird, the sparrow, is in the nest, it's in its roots, it's in its safe place, sometimes we're gonna have to fly somewhere else. We're gonna have to fly, and that may be, you know, a big move. It could be in a new job. It could be something just different. But if we can be a little more accepting of maybe this is gonna be different than what I'm normally used to, however, we're not gonna be in the flight pattern of the predator, right? We're gonna get away from that. We don't even have to put ourselves in that situation. We can go a different way, but we always can get back to the nest. Anytime that we need to come back and rest or get some water, get some food, or check on the babies, we can always come back to that tree. So as you go out today, I want you to be mindful. Ask yourself, is it fruitful? And what is God's purpose in my life? And that's what I have for you today. So I'm going to try and sing His Eyes on the Sparrow. It's been a while, and it's also a very difficult song to play. However, a new thing that I like about being a worshiper and not a performer is that it don't matter if I play a wrong key anymore. We just laugh about it and fly a different way. So. Amen. God bless you this morning.